I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Father, we thank you for your blessing this afternoon. We pray in Jesus' name that you will help us, Lord. Amen. All right, you may be seated, please. Now, okay. I want to share with you this morning, this is the year of the shepherd. Amen. The year of the shepherd. Can you put is it a logo or whatever? Just put it up there so everyone can see it. Amen. Amen. This is the year of the shepherd. Amen. Amen. And that is the prophetic direction of the Lord. Amen. Amen. God has decided that we in the UD should emphasize shepherding this year. Amen. Amen. And so we're going to talk a lot about shepherding, and we're going to believe God for everyone to be involved in the work of shepherding. Amen. Amen. Now, who is a shepherd? A shepherd is one who cares for the sheep, isn't it? The shepherd is one who cares for the sheep. Now, in John chapter 21 and from verse 15, John chapter 21 and verse 15, Jesus was talking to Peter, and he saith unto him, it says in verse 15, so when they had dined, they had finished eating, then Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You know, now they had just finished eating. You know, and Jesus was asking Peter, do you love me more than these? I don't know, maybe the dinners. Do you get it? Because it's easy, if you're looking for someone to take out to lunch this afternoon, I don't think you'll struggle. If you like, try it. Who is looking for someone? Okay, maybe let me ask the other question. Who would like to be taken out to lunch this afternoon? Right. Okay. No, raise your hand. Let me see. These are those who would like to be taken out to lunch. Raise your hand. Let me see. Okay. Now, how many of you would like to take someone out to lunch this afternoon? Raise your hand. Let me see. Benji, maybe you should be the score man. Can you stand up and count for us? Count the two groups. Okay, so Benji, stand up and count for us. All right, so let's have the first group. How many would like to be taken out to lunch? Like someone to take you out to lunch this afternoon. Like after the service, you'd like someone to take you out to lunch. You've got a number? Okay, now group two, how many would like to take someone out to lunch this afternoon? Okay. Right. Okay, so which group is more? The first group is more. So there are more people who would like to be taken out to lunch than those who would like to take people out to lunch. So anyway, those of you who were in the first group, I hope you noticed the second group. Right after the service, walk up to them and just say that you are available. And that you saw their hand up. Okay. Do you want me to ask them to put their hand up again? Okay, those who would like to take people out to lunch, raise your hand again. Okay, so just notice them. The number has reduced even further. Wow. Yeah. So it is not hard to find someone who wants to go to lunch with you. So when they had finished eating, then Jesus asked Simon Peter that, "Do you love me? Is your love for me deeper than these lunches?" Do you see? Yeah, because they had come, Jesus had cooked for them, you know, and he had grilled fish and he gave them to eat. And then Jesus was asking Peter, "Do you love me more than these experiences, more than these things?" Then Peter saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Do you see? Of course, who wouldn't love someone who is grilling fish for you? You know, every time you come, there is grilled fish. You would love anybody whose home, anytime you visit, has grilled fish. Isn't it? Yeah. Even just the fact that there's some food. I think you would love such a person. Yes. When I was a kid, I had an auntie who always had food. And it was just a pleasure to be sent to give her a message. You get it. Anytime my mom would send us to the auntie's house, it was just wonderful. You get it. Yes, you were always looking for a reason to go there. And so when they would say, "Go to Auntie so-and-so," oh, wonderful. Because she always had something. You know, I don't know, kids are always hungry. At least I was. Yeah. So, Jesus wanted to know whether Peter loved him deeper and beyond what he, Jesus, would do for Peter. Do you understand? Which is the grilled fish and the food and the things that he was doing for them. And Peter said, "Oh yeah, I love you." You see, and to his surprise, Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my lambs," right? Then in verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep," right? Then verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he saith unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." Hallelujah. He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." Hallelujah. Now, what do you call the person whose job it is to feed the sheep? The shepherd. Hallelujah. In other words, in every place where Jesus was telling Peter to feed his sheep, we can put there, become a shepherd. Can you see that? Become a shepherd. Become a shepherd. Become a shepherd. Become a shepherd. If you love me, become a shepherd. He said, if you love me, he didn't say, if you love me, join me to more dinners. Do you see? But if you love me, then become a shepherd. Do you understand? So a shepherd is one who takes care of the sheep. And God's people are called sheep in Psalm 95. Psalm 95 and verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, Psalm 95 verse 6 and 7. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Can you see that? Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Why? For he is our God. Do you see? And we, the ones who are coming to worship him, who are coming to kneel before the Lord our Maker. Do you understand? He said, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Hallelujah. So who are the sheep? The sheep are those, verse 6. Who are the sheep? The sheep are those who come and worship and bow down and kneel before our Maker. Can you see that? Yes. God's people are the sheep. And so when God says, prove your love to me by becoming a shepherd, then God says that prove your love to me by becoming a caretaker of my sheep. Does that make sense? Yes. God wants us to become caretakers of the sheep. Amen. And when you are a shepherd, you see, now, the word shepherd is the word that is used for everyone who does any work, you know, of taking care of the sheep. And God's sheep need to be taken care of at different levels. Are you getting what I'm saying? At different levels. So, there are people we refer to as shepherds. Often we are thinking of the pastor. Do you get it? Or a bishop. Or such someone of such. In fact, most of the time we are thinking of any man of God. Do you understand? And those are the people we think of as shepherds. But the reality is that there are levels. Do you see? There are levels of shepherding. And they basically, you're describing, the same thing can be described in different ways. Do you understand? It's like, let's say if we take gender, like male, to be male or to be, maybe it comes out clearer with a female. Let's say with a female, if you take the female, the female is a gender. It's the female. Do you understand? Yeah, I don't know. It's the only other the other type of species, human species, isn't it? It's male or female. Yeah, it's male or female. No matter how complicated we try to make it, it's really male or female, right? Right. Now, when you have a female, you see, you notice that her name changes at different times depending on what she's doing.
That's right.
Isn't it? So sometimes she's called what? Maybe a young lady when she's female, and she's called a girl when she's female and young, right? So when she's female, but she's small like that, we call her a girl, little girl, isn't it? Right. Then when she's female, that's when that changes again to what? Young lady. When she's female, but now she's grown a bit, isn't it? Yeah, she's grown a little bit. Now when she's changing, she doesn't want others to be there. Uh-huh. Before, she used to run from the room and come naked. Do you get it? Before, you used to bath them, right? Then at a point when they start bathing themselves, now they close the door, isn't it? Yeah. John Jack, you will see that soon. They close the door. They say, don't come there, isn't it? Yes. Then, so the same person, isn't it? Still female, but young lady, isn't it? Then another one. Another name for young lady. Woman. Woman means that she's what? She's full grown, like Zola. Huh? Full grown, right? Right. Then she's also called bride. When is she called bride? Huh? When she wears those clothes at a wedding ceremony, she alone is called bride. Isn't it? Like Mega, isn't it? Right. She's called bride. Then when she's married, she's also called wife. Wifey. Wifey. Okay. Wifey. Huh? Right. You see? Right. Then when she has children, she's called mother. Isn't it? Like Innie. Right? She's called mother. Same person. Isn't it? She's still female. But depending on what she's doing, her name keeps changing. Isn't it? When is she called grandmother? When her child has a child, she's called grandmother. Wow. It is fantastic. Yeah? She's also a sister-in-law. When her brother gets married, or her sister gets married, she's called sister-in-law. All right. And then when her child, her son also gets married, she becomes mother-in-law. When her sister has kids, she's called auntie. Wow. It is fantastic. It is, but she's still essentially female. Are you getting it? That is how it is to have a shepherd. So the work of looking after God's people is the work of a shepherd. A person who takes care of God's people is called a shepherd. Now, within that, you can have some who do it at the level of pastors, some who do it at the level of bishops, some who do it at all kinds of levels, higher and higher, with different names and different titles, but essentially the work is the same. Are you getting it? So you cannot say that because I'm not a bishop, I cannot be a shepherd. That is like saying that because I'm not a mother, I cannot be called female. Is it making sense? Yes, you can say that. Do you get it? You are female. You just haven't reached the mother level yet. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Or you haven't reached the bride level. I mean, we're going to call her bride soon. You get it? Yeah. We'll call her bride soon. But today, even though she's wearing white, she's not bride. Bride to be. Well, Moses is being kind. Does it make sense? Yeah. So, this is the year of people rising up into the role of becoming loving caretakers of God's people. Are you understanding it? Yeah? Clap properly. Amen. God's people need shepherding. Hallelujah. God's people need people to take care of them. And this year, God wants every one of us to become a caretaker, a loving caretaker of his people. Amen. And we are going to become shepherds. Amen. Say, I'm becoming a shepherd. Say, this year is my year of the shepherd. Hallelujah. So you're going to become a shepherd this year. Every one of us can become a shepherd. So now let's go on to why every Christian can become a shepherd. You know, I'm sharing with you from this wonderful book, you know, what it means to become a shepherd. Okay? So why every Christian can become a shepherd? Why every Christian can become a shepherd? Okay? Now, number one, to become a shepherd, all you need is a desire. All you need is a desire. That is all you need to start to become a shepherd. Now, we have already established that God says the way you prove you love me is to become a shepherd. You know, you prove you love me by becoming a shepherd. I mean, you can't beat that. Do you understand? You can't tell God how to love him or how he must feel loved. Isn't it? Yeah. Zola, you are in love. True or false? Are there some special things that make you feel loved? Really? Right. Do you mind sharing some of it? Yeah, like what? Okay, only one. Elpak says only one.
1 or 2.
She says 1 or 2.
Quality time.
Quality time. What's the difference between time and quality time? What is quality time?
Quality time is like spending time talking, spending a lot of time talking. Talking to me.
Spending a lot of time talking to you is quality time.
Yes.
That's quality time. Spending a lot of time talking to you. Not quarreling with you. Just talking. Right. And you feel, it makes you feel loved. Makes you feel loved. Wow. Wow. Okay. So here is someone who says that when you spend time talking to her, then she feels loved. But it depends on who, isn't it? Because there are some people, when they are coming, she runs away, she says they talk too much. So it's not just that she likes to hear voices, but from a particular person. All right. Okay. So quality time for her means that you love her. Do you understand? Now, is there someone who uses some other thing to feel loved? What makes you feel loved? Jean-Jacques? Food. Food makes you feel loved. Like you feel very loved. When what happens?
When she cooked, I feel very loved.
When she cooks?
Yeah.
For you?
Mm-hmm.
Feel very loved?
Yeah. The food. Food is number one.
Food is number one.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it. So for you, it's not talking to you. So if you came home from work and she has a lot of things and she wants to tell you a lot of things.
Where's the food?
You say, where's the food? Yeah. So where's the food? Where's the food? If you love me, where's the food? Right? Yeah. So we cannot force God to feel loved by the things we do. Are you getting it? Yeah. And there are many things that we do, like we come to church, we sing, you know, we dance with the stars, we give offerings. You see, these are all not bad things. They're all good things, you know. But, so John-Jacques, I'm sure you'll be happy if you arrived at home and the table is laid and no word is said to you. It's okay. Yeah, just show me the table and you go to bed. I still feel loved. And you will enjoy it if we can talk. There's no food. But there has to be food. Yeah. See, you can't force God to... You can't say, Lord, I love you. You see? And use your own criteria to justify and to support the so-called love that you have. Isn't it? It must be according to how he feels loved. Isn't it? Yes. And God told Peter, I mean, for him to say, Jesus said it three times. And they had just finished dinner. So obviously for Jesus, it wasn't the food. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, if it was John Jack, yeah. You see, but unfortunately, it's not John Jack we're dealing with. Do you see? It's Jesus. And Jesus says for him, it's not food. He asked Peter three times, do you love me? The first one, he said, do you love me more than this? Yeah. Do you love me more than this? And then Peter says, yes. Then he says, feed my lambs. Then he asked him a second time, do you love me? Then he said, feed my sheep. Then when he asked him a third time, if Peter was now even frustrated. It's like, I mean, how? Why are you asking such a question? But Jesus must have known why he was asking that question. Yes. And he asked him three times and he said, feed my sheep. So that must be very important to him. Yeah. Are you getting the picture? Yes. So he says that this is how you show love. And it must be true. It must be true because the highest price Jesus ever paid was not the fish he caught. Do you see? But it was to give his life for the sheep. That's the highest price. The most expensive thing Christ did was to give his life. Not a bit of his time, but his entire life. The Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life. You get it? So it's like the highest, you know, the highest is that he laid down his life for the sheep. So when he says, the sheep that were redeemed by the highest price that I paid, if he says, take care of them, that's proof that you love me. He must be right. I think it makes sense. What do you think? Yes. A lot of people like you to prove you love them by taking care of what they treasure most. Yes. For many people, if you look after their child properly, they feel very happy. For many ladies will be happy if you give their child a present and you didn't give them anything. Yeah, they'll be happy. Just give it to their child. I mean, love for them, love to the child is love to them. True or not? Yes. Even if you come and say their child is beautiful and play with their cheeks a little bit, you know, and you don't even say good morning to the lady, she's happy. Hallelujah. So Jesus wants us to prove our love for him by looking after the sheep. And we're saying that every Christian can do that. Every Christian can love Jesus. Because all it takes is a desire. That's why we're talking about it. Because when you talk about something, you stir up a desire in people to do that thing. Are you getting it? So we are making this the year of the shepherd and talking about the shepherd so that your mind can go on it. Do you understand? So that it can occur to you that I can actually be a shepherd. Now, in our church, we have a lot of people who call themselves shepherds or are called by other shepherds or are expected to be shepherds or are referred to as shepherds. Get it? Right. But who don't really do any real shepherding work. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. You see, I'm not talking about... That's why Jesus even didn't use the name. He didn't even say, be a shepherd. He said, practical. Yeah. Feed the sheep. Yeah, you choose what name you want to give it to yourself. Do you see? Yeah, you choose the name, choose the title, whatever it means. You call it anything. But the practical work is what I want you to do, which is that, where is the sheep you are feeding? Where is that person you are feeding? Where is the lamb you are taking care of? That's what I'm asking for. Not to be called a shepherd in the church. Many people are called shepherds because they stay behind after church for that second meeting. You know? Yeah. That second meeting for the main guys, where people are around, church workers meeting. It's a happy meeting though. I mean. But that's not what Jesus is asking for. Otherwise he would have told Peter, do you love me? Remain behind. See me after church. Do you understand? Yeah, we have a meeting after. No. It's the practical work of. So you may be called shepherd. Do you see? You may be called shepherd. But if you are not involved in the practical work of feeding someone, then you are not fitting the definition that Jesus has given for being a shepherd. Hallelujah. Now, we said number one is to become a shepherd, all you need is to have a desire. Because 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Okay? If the man desireth the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Amen. It says the Greek word translated bishop is episkopos, which means an overseer of God's people. Right? So Paul's vision was to enjoin more people to do God's work. He therefore asked Timothy to look out for people with a desire to be involved in ministry. You know, after locating people who had the desire, then to work, then Paul instructed Timothy to ensure that they were of honorable reputation. Amen. In other words, the first thing that he was looking for was desire. Are you getting it? Yes. That once somebody has the desire to do that, that's all you need. You just have to want to look after somebody. Hallelujah. You just have to want to look after somebody. In any case, you will find that most things that God wants you to do, you know, he has, or he stirs up a desire in you to do it. Are you getting it? Yes. Most things that God wants you to do, he stirs up a desire in you to do it. Anything, even in nature, all the things that we are supposed to do. Do you get it? They are all preceded by a desire. Something like eating. Do you get it? Because we need to eat to live. Do you see? And so you find there's a desire. When it's time to eat, a desire to eat comes. Yeah, and when somebody has no desire to eat, he's not well. Do you see? Yeah, it means he's not well. There's something wrong with him. But if he's normal, there should be a point in time where he has a desire to eat. Do you see? Yeah. So for me, when I see a lot of mothers worrying about their baby who doesn't eat and so on, I feel like they are just worrying for nothing. Because I feel like if the baby is hungry, the baby will eat. Yeah, when the baby gets to that point, hopefully he or she will be alive. Do you see? But the mothers, they just can't, they use their own, I think they use their own hunger to judge that the baby may be hungry. You get it? But how hungry can you get? You eat so much food and you just sit in one place. She doesn't use the energy for anything, just to sleep. You get it? And maybe the crying, just a little crying or something. How much energy is dissipated that she's hungry? No. So for me, I think that if you just leave them. Jifa, that's my theory, please. I don't know if you should apply that to your baby, please. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah? So the desire, all you need is the desire. You know, and even though in the passage we just read, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, he follows it with verse 2, and so he talks about some character issues. A bishop then must be blameless, he must be the husband of one wife, he must be vigilant, he must be sober, he must have a good behavior, he must be given to hospitality, he must be apt to teach, etc. See, all these character things are secondary. Can you see that? Yes. And if you go on, you will see, go on to verse 3, not given to wine, not no striker, not greedy or filthy looker, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Now, these are all character things. There's even no skill referred to here. Do you see? Yeah. Perhaps the closest to skill is apt to teach. You get it? Yeah, maybe, and even that's not a skill, more like ability. You can share something with someone. You can share something with someone, which is, it doesn't require skill. I mean, to share something, can you not just tell someone what I just told you? What skill do you require? Yeah? You just have to be able to talk. Yeah, you can say what I said. What did I just say? That you can say what I said. So say what I said. Tell your neighbor what I just said, everybody. There you go. Yeah, and they got it. Everyone can do it. Can you see? So everyone can do it. And Paul is teaching us that all that matters is that you want to do it. So often what is missing is that people don't want to do it. And if you don't want to do it, then it means really that you don't love him. That's what it means. What do you think? Yeah, you don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. Not that you can't do it. You don't want to do it. Yeah. I mean, when I said turn to your neighbor and tell them what I just said, anybody who didn't do it, what do you think is the reason? They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do it. Not that they can't do it or that they didn't hear me. They just didn't want to do it. Yeah. They were just thinking, we just came to church, now they are telling us to tell people, think, what is all this? Is that how a church is supposed to be? That's why I like to go to the church where the pulpit is up there and the pastor is in the sky. Are you getting the picture? Yes. So the desire must be there. Hallelujah. And I pray that this year, God will stir up a desire in you to look after his people. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, number two reason why every one of us can become a shepherd is because becoming a shepherd is a natural stage of development. Becoming a shepherd is a natural stage of your Christian development. Now, that you find in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Becoming a shepherd is a natural stage of development. Okay. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Here, the Bible says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that someone teach you again. Can you see? When for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Hallelujah. Can you change the version and give us another one? Give us another version and tell us what it says. It says there that What? You have been Christians a long time now. You ought to be teaching others. Can you see that? Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things a beginner must learn about the scriptures. You are like babies who drink only milk and cannot eat solid food. Wow. He says you've been Christians a long time now. You ought to be teaching others. So when someone has been a Christian for some time, he ought to be teaching others. What do you think? Yeah. What it takes, according to this verse, what it takes to be teaching others is that you've been a Christian for some time. What do you think? Yeah, anybody who's been a Christian for some time, Aliyah, anybody who's been a Christian for some time ought to be teaching others. Ought to be teaching others. You're supposed to be teaching others. Wow. What do you think? Yes. You ought to be at time, and it's time related. Do you see? Yeah. Many times we spookify it. Know what it means to spookify something? To make it spooky. That's it. Yes. You see, and make it very complex. And a lot of Christians make this whole thing so complex by introducing the concept of a call. Do you see? And they say that they are not called. But according to this verse, there's no call here. It's just long time Christian. You got to be teaching someone. There's no calling. It's not about calling anything here. Just long time Christian. It's not about calling. What do you think? Yes. There are many things that we do, you know, just by virtue of having done it for some time, we're able to teach others. And we don't ask for a call or any special, even special training. You get it? Yeah. I've seen many people carry Adele around. I've seen Kanye carry Adele. Uh-huh. Right. I don't know. Did you ask her if she has babysitting training? She has certification in, has she done CPR? Does she know how to do all these things? But you just give your baby to her. But I haven't seen you give Adele to Senna. Yeah. Because he hasn't been around long enough. But Kanye's qualification for carrying Adele is just coming purely from how long she's been around. She's 12 years old. She should be able to handle the baby. And you see, the mother just gives her to her and she's feeling free elsewhere. Are you getting the picture? It's just a natural stage. At a point in your Christianity, it's just the next thing. It's just the next thing. After you've been taught and taught and taught and taught and taught and taught, there comes a time when you have to now start giving. Do you see? You have to now start sharing the teaching. Otherwise, you are like someone who is just taking in and never letting out. You are spiritually constipated and bloated with knowledge. Yes. And it is such people who become critics. Yes, it's such people who criticize pastors, who criticize churches. They have YouTube channels, talk about why you shouldn't pay tithe. And when you see the way they analyze the Bible, and just you need to be teaching somebody something. Yeah, but it is because you're not teaching anybody anything that you've turned yourself into an enemy of the work of God. Yes. Yeah. And you create discomfort in the body. Just like when people are feeling bloated and constipated, they don't feel free. They don't feel happy. They get headaches and all these things. It's just from eating and eating and eating and eating. Hey! And that's what happens. As you hear preaching year after year, you were here last year. You had 1 year of preaching. The year before, you were here. Another year of preaching. Now we have rolled over. The thing has started again. January, whatever, and you are here again. Do you see? What do you think all this preaching is going to do to you if you don't start sharing and teaching and emptying yourself? It's like you never go to the bathroom. Hey! How? What do you think? You have been Christians a long time now. You ought to be teaching others. Read it. Everybody read it with me. 1, 2, 3, go. You have been Christians a long time now, and you ought to be teaching others. You ought to be teaching others. So that's why I'm saying, when we say this is the year of the shepherd, then this is the year that you're going to start teaching others. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's the year you are going to start teaching others. You're going to start explaining things to others. You're going to start visiting others. You're going to start looking for others. That's how you prove your love for him. According to him, not according to me. I don't know, sometimes people accuse our church. What church is this? They force everybody to try to do the work of God. Is it everybody who must do the work of God? I say, see, you don't understand. You don't read your Bible. You're the one not reading your Bible. You would have known that we're not doing anything but just trying to follow what Jesus said. That Jesus said that if we love him, we should feed his sheep. And when someone says, go and feed the sheep, what is he doing wrong? That's all we're doing. Sometimes people laugh at us. They say, in the church, we have some people called shepherds. What are you? Are you also sheep or shepherd? Sheep, are you a goat? Goatess? Different type of things. They'll be laughing at us. Felix, they'll be laughing at us. You see, but we are not doing anything wrong. We are, they are not reading the scriptures. They are not reading the Bible. You see, if you read the Bible, you will know that every Christian's journey ends in him becoming a teacher. Right there. According, you've been Christians a long time now. You ought to be teaching others. Yeah. A long time now, you ought to be teaching others. So you see, there are some Christians, they don't even fit in any church. Yeah, they don't fit in any church as members. Because when they join the church, they just start seeing so many things wrong. Because you know too much. You get it? Yeah, you've been overfed. You just know so much. Preaching upon preaching. When the pastor starts preaching, you know where he's going. Yes. When he says Abraham, you know where he's going. Yes. Says Isaac, you know where he's going. If he says Jacob, you continue for him. Isn't it? Yeah. Yes. You just know when he says John, you say the Baptist. you know everything he's going to say. If you stay in this church long enough, you will know all my sermons. You will know all, because the Bible is one book. It's only one book. Isn't it? So by all means, I'll start coming back. I'll come and talk about faith again. I'll come and talk about prayer again. I'll come and talk about evangelism again. I'll come and talk about tithing again. I'll talk about shepherding again. Do you see the thing? So at a point, you'll be unimpressed. You will not even feel blessed. And you will even stop coming to church. Yes. Because you feel that there's nothing new. You see, and it's as though it's my fault. Whereas the reality is, it's your fault. Because you're not hungry. You are full.
You are full because everything you keep, you know. I mean, when I you see this book I'm sharing with you, you know, it's a book I've read many times. But because I had to come and share with you today, I was reading it again. Do you understand? Anybody who is giving out always wants to take in. Where's that from? Yeah. Anybody who is giving out always wants to take in. Even what you think you know already. Do you understand? Yes. It is that process that makes people who teach become stronger. In fact, one of the ways to be established in the Lord and to be a strong Christian is to teach others. Yes. Yeah. Because he gave us that clue there. He said that people who teach, instead you need someone to teach you again the basic things, right? A beginner must learn about the scriptures. It says you are like babies who only drink milk and cannot eat solid food. Do you see? Yeah? Then look at the next verse. Next verse. And a person who is living on milk isn't very far along in the Christian life. You see? Yeah. And doesn't know much about doing what is right. Do you see? Yeah. Then next one. Verse 14. Solid food is for those who are mature, who have trained themselves, do you see, to recognize the difference between right and wrong and then do what is right. That's solid food. Solid food, according to this version. Now, in the other version we're reading, it calls it strong meat. Do you understand? Strong meat. Strong meat is how we become strong Christians. Do you see? Yes. And you notice that there's a correlation between the type of meat that the person is eating and the strength that he has. And it has to do with also what he's doing with the food, which is the babies are not doing anything with the food. The ones who are strong are teaching others with the food. Are you understanding it? Yeah. So if you want to be a strong Christian, I want to recommend to you that you become a teacher. Amen. You need to have a group that you teach. You need to have some people that you teach. A few people that you share the word of God with every week. Yes. And this is the year for that. Amen. Amen. This is the year for the shepherd. This is the year that you become someone who will be teaching others. Hallelujah. Are you understanding the word of God? Yes. Now, the third reason why every one of us can become and must become a teacher of the word, a shepherd, is because there is a great need for shepherds. There is a great need for shepherds. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Hallelujah. Yeah. It says, they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So there is a great need for shepherds. Amen. Amen. The world is in need of shepherds. A lot of people are looking for people who will answer their questions. Amen. Amen. And when you decide to become a shepherd, you will change some people's lives forever. Amen. And if you don't become a shepherd, there are some people whose lives will not be affected. Hallelujah. There are some people I cannot reach. I cannot reach them. There are many people in your world that can be reached by you. Many people who will listen to you who will not listen to me. Hallelujah. And so you need to rise up and do your part and start doing your work of shepherding, because there is a great need for shepherds. Jesus had preached everywhere. Look at verse 35. Verse 35 says, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So you would have thought all the work is being done. Can you see that? And yet it says when he came and he saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So sheep are scattered when they have no shepherd, which is the next point. The next reason why we must all become shepherds is because God's people are scattered without a shepherd. They are scattered without a shepherd. A lot of our church members are scattered because there's nobody looking for them. That's true. A lot of church members, people who used to come to church here, don't come anymore, not because the church has ceased to exist, but because there is no shepherd. Look at another verse, Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 5. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 5. It says, 34 and verse 5. That's Exodus. Yeah. Ezekiel 34 and verse 5. It says, and everybody read it. 1, 2, 3, go. And they were scattered. Why? Why? That's it. They were scattered means they were not gathered. So if we have a service and people don't attend it, what does it mean? They are scattered. They didn't gather. And why did they not gather? Because there is no shepherd. There is no shepherd in their lives. There is nobody talking to them. There's no one gathering them. There's no one calling them. There's no one teaching them the reason why they have to be in church. There's no one convincing them. There's no one dedicated to them. There's no one working with them. There's no one devoted to them. There is no one feeding them. The secret is right there. It says they were scattered because what? There is no shepherd. There is no shepherd. If you invite someone to church and you don't become a shepherd to that person will be scattered. You look for them. Scattered means they are not in the place where you put them. It means they are all over. It means they are gone. They are scattered. You look for them and you not find them because there is no shepherd. Hallelujah. So the year of the shepherd is the year of gathering the sheep together again. Hallelujah. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. I said, if you believe it, say amen. Amen. Yes. The devil knows that God's people are safer when they are gathered together. Because it is when they are scattered that they become meat to all the beasts of the field. Says they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. The devil knows he has no meat when the people are gathered. He has no meat. Satan has nobody's life to destroy when people are gathered and they continue to come to church. Satan has nobody's life to ruin. Satan has nobody to hook onto drugs. Satan has nobody to chase with lusts and all kinds of things when people are gathered. He knows that. He knows the effect of the gathering on the sheep. And so his job is to prevent the gathering by creating the scattering. And the absence of the shepherd is what allows the scattering to happen. Hallelujah. Are you understanding it? That must be the reason why Jesus said, anybody who is not gathering with me is scattering. Because when there is no gathering, the effect is scattering. Do you see? Yes, you are either helping to bring the people together or you are promoting the scattering of the people. Yeah. So Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me, someone burning something. Okay, all right. Okay. So he that is not with me is against me. Then he said, he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Can you see that? That also means that he that gathereth not with me is against me. Yeah. That's what it must mean. Tell your neighbor, this year you have no choice but to become a shepherd. Okay. Then number five is that you become a shepherd in order to fulfill the Great Commission. We can become a shepherd in order to fulfill the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? The Great Commission is found in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Can you see that? Go ye therefore and do what? Teach all nations. Amen. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Can you see that? So Jesus gave us a commission to go and teach all nations. That means to go and feed his sheep everywhere. That's the Great Commission. This one verse here, this verse is for every Christian. Amen. It's not just for pastors. It's for every Christian. This verse is for every Christian. Do you see? And if the teaching part is not for you, then I'm with you always. It's also not for you. What do you think? I'm with you always until the end of the world. It's for those who are teaching. It must be the case. Because he's talking, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Isn't it? And I'm with you. So the same person who is teaching is the same person with whom the Lord will be. God's presence will be with us as we rise up to become teachers this year. Hallelujah. Yes, if you want his presence, become a teacher. Amen. Why not? Let me show you another verse. John chapter 14 and verse 23. John chapter 14 and verse 23. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 23. He said, if a man love me, I think you know what that means. If a man love me means what? It means if a man become a shepherd. If a man become a shepherd, if a man become a feeder, isn't it? Then what will happen? He will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. It doesn't get better than that. We will come to him. We will come to him. Do you know what triggered this question? Look at verse 22. Verse 22, somebody asked a question. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, that means another Judas, right? He said, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? In other words, how is it that your power is manifest to some people and not to others? Do you understand? Do you ever wonder why some people have certain testimonies and not you? Does it ever occur to you that sometimes it's occurred to me before. That, you know, people have these wild, wild testimonies. And sometimes I just wonder, Lord, why don't you give me one of these type of testimonies? In other words, we don't all seem to experience the same manifestations of God's power. And so this Judas was curious, and he was asking the Lord that, you know, how do you determine who you manifest yourself to? That means those who see your power in a certain way. What is the determinant? How do you determine who should see your power to a certain extent, who should have experienced certain miracles, and so on and so forth? How do you select the people? That was his question. Then Jesus gave the answer that it is for those who love me. Then he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and then we will come unto him. My Father and I will come unto the man who loves me. Are you getting it? Yes. And we will make our abode with him. We will come and live with that man. Wow. That's the answer to how will you manifest yourself to us and not to some people. We will come and make our abode with him. We will come and stay there. I tell you. We'll come and stay there if he loves me. And he has told us what it means to love him. He said, feed my lambs. So it means if a man will feed my lambs, if a man will feed my sheep, if a man will feed my sheep, you know, we will love him. My Father and I will love him. And we will come to him. If you become a sheep feeder, God has promised he will come and make his abode with you. He will come and live with you. Jesus said he will come and be with you. He will manifest himself to you. Hallelujah. This is the year for that manifestation. I say, this is the year for that manifestation. Hallelujah. Don't just come to church and go back. Don't just come to church and go. That's not Christianity. Get involved in the work of establishing others. Some of the people who are not in church today, all they needed was somebody to call them. And someone to be a shepherd to them. Someone to care for them. Someone to nurture them. Someone to say that, look, this is the first year, first Sunday of the year. Let's go to church. You can do this. You can make it. The enemy knows that when the sheep are gathered, the Bible says he has no meat. If you were the devil just for even a second, if you were the devil, what would you do if your meat is when the sheep are scattered? Are you going to allow them to go to church? Yeah. Are you going to allow the sheep to go to the gathering? No. Why would you allow the sheep to go to the gathering? Because when they go to the gathering, you have no meat. Yeah. They hear all this preaching. Their lives are changing. Why would you let them go? I wouldn't let them go. I'll wake up, I'll flood them with reasons not to go to church. I'll start with, it's far. Yes. That's where I'll start. In fact, I'll actually start working on them from Saturday afternoon. I'll give them useless things to do to wear them out. Yes, I'll tell them, go here, go to this place, go here. And they won't even have a clue that it has everything to do with tomorrow. By the time they come to bed on Saturday night, they are well spent and tired. Yeah, then they'll sleep. In the morning when they get up, I'll just tell them, listen, it's the weekend. Relax. Take it easy. You need to rest. This is important. You didn't get much sleep last night, you know, so just sleep on. Just rest. Yeah. You have work on Monday. Yeah. Yeah, just rest. And I'll fan them like that. I'll just fan them. Sleep on. Yeah. Then those who get up, I'll tell them, listen, it's too far. The gas money. Yeah, gas is expensive. You get it? Where your gauge is right now. You know this gauge. It's not a good idea. Don't go to church. When you go, you know you're going to have to drop off someone. You know how it is. They'll throw someone into your car. So don't go. But if you persist, then we'll enter the closet and we'll have another discussion. There's nothing to wear. You know it. This dress, you don't fit in it anymore. You just know it. When you wear it, you look like Humpty Dumpty. It's not going to work. Just put this thing down. is not going to work. Just put this thing down. Yeah. So you be in the closet all by yourself and you are hearing all these voices because the enemy knows that when you gather, he has no meat. He has no meat. And there are some of you, when you come to church, it means others come to church. Do you see? Yeah. And when you don't come, several others don't come. Because you give them a ride and so on. And so he knows, let's knock the driver out. Yes. Knock the driver out. Get the driver out. If we can get the driver out, it means we get this person, we get this person, we get without even talking to them. This year we're going to fight all that. I said we're going to fight all that. You're going to make it your aim. Make it your aim. I'll be there. On Sunday, I'll be there. And I'm not coming alone. I'm a shepherd, so I'm working on others to come with me. Can I have an amen? Well, stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. We'll continue next week. Next Sunday, we'll continue. This is the year of the shepherd. Hallelujah. It is your year as a shepherd. We'll continue next week. Amen. Hallelujah. Just bow your heads with me and let's pray. Bow your heads with me and let's pray. Hold. Just lift up your hand, everybody. Just lift up your hand and just pray. And say, Lord, please, make me one of those shepherds. I want you to make me a shepherd. Make me a shepherd. Please, make me one of those you can count on to look after the sheep. Yes. Make me one of those, Lord, in the name of Jesus. If you want to know who loves you, Lord, you can count on me. I love you. And I will take care of the flock. I will feed the sheep. I will. Yes, I will. I will, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I will never get tired of it. I'll keep doing it. I'll keep looking after your people. I'll keep preaching. I'll keep teaching. I'll keep sharing. I'll keep doing your work, Lord. Because that's how I prove my love for you in a way that makes sense to you, Lord. Just tell the Lord, everybody. Just say, Lord, I want to join the shepherds. I want to be a shepherd. I want to join the shepherds. I want to be one of those that feed the sheep. Yes, I've been a Christian for some time. I've been a Christian for some time, Lord. And I want to be a shepherd this time. I want to be able to teach others. Yes, Lord. So use me. Use me. Yes. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Yes, Lord. Use me. Jesus. I want to visit people, Lord. I want to visit people. I want to share with people. I want to talk to people, Lord. I want to convince people about serving you. I want to encourage people. I want to encourage the brethren, my friends, the people I've brought to church, Lord. I want to encourage them. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. I want to do it. 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 Because that is how I show my love for you, Lord. I have no business saying I love you, Lord, if I will not feed your sheep. Anybody can say they love you because of what you do for them. But I want to prove my love by what I do for you. I want to prove my love by what I do for you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. Sing it again. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. Sing it again. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be a vessel. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. Now, as we close the service, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here, you want to give your life to Jesus, or you're watching us online and you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to join us in a prayer. Just say with me right now, say, Lord Jesus. Everybody say with me, say, Lord Jesus. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Because I know I'm a sinner, and you died for my sins. So, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me, and let your blood cleanse me, and make me a child of God from today. I want to live for you, Jesus. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And be my Master. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Amen. How many are going to be shepherds this year? How many are going to be shepherds? You're going to be... Congratulate the nearest shepherd. Call them shepherd so-and-so. Let's say shepherd so-and-so. I just want to congratulate you for your love for Jesus. I want you to know it will not be in vain. Jesus is very proud of you. Yes. I want to be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. Yes, I wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you blessed this afternoon? How many are glad you came to church? How many are going to show your love for Jesus? You know, I'm really touched by that verse that says, if you love me, we'll come to you. Yeah, if we come. I think you don't even go to places where you know people don't like you. Is that true or not? Yes. Even a dog knows not to go to someone who doesn't like him. Yeah. If you kick dogs and beat them and so on, they'll not come to you. They'll run away when they see you. The Lord said that we will come to you. We will make our abode with you. That means we'll come and live with you. You always have his presence. Hallelujah. And God's presence with you always will make such a big difference. Hallelujah. Let's become shepherds. Forget the skeptics. Leave the critics alone. Don't mind them. Let's become shepherds. They can laugh at us, but his presence will be with us. I said his presence will be with us. His presence will be with you. His presence will be with you. And he will speak for you. Because you love him. You love him. You love him. You care for the most precious thing to him. The thing he paid the highest price for is what you are caring for. You will be precious to him. You'll be precious to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's come to the Lord's table today. Let's have communion. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to have communion and to come to the Lord's table. Yes, thank you, Lord, for the blessing of communion. Thank you. Have just begun in the Spirit. We are young and will live forever. Sons of God, hear this holy word. Gather round the table of the Lord. Eat his body, drink his blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shout together, shout together to the Lord, who has promised our reward, happiness 100-fold, and will live forever. Sons of God, hear his holy word. Gather around the table of the Lord. Eat his body, drink his blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, there are some powerful blessings here this morning at the First Love Church, and we must not lose out on it. Amen. So we want to go over and join the prophet as we receive a blessing. This is the first communion of the year. Amen. And so let's go for it. Hallelujah.
Thank you for an opportunity to partake of the body of Jesus Christ. This year we will not need any medication.
Amen.
Because we have body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Planted into our lives.
Amen.
This year we will not be admitted to any hospital.
Amen.
Because of the power of the Holy Communion that we are experiencing.
Yes.
This year all forms of cancers, diseases will not be associated with us forever
anymore.
Amen. In the name of Jesus
Christ. Amen.
Whatever is lacking in our kidneys,
yes,
our livers,
yes,
our brain,
yes,
our blood,
yes,
our stomach,
yes,
our womb, our breast,
yes,
our body,
Lord,
our prostate gland,
Jesus, yes,
because of this holy communion.
Amen.
Curse is broken.
Amen.
Healing.
Yes.
Normals.
Yes.
The blessing of God comes into everyone today.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever appointment you have with death this year, we cancel and abrogate that appointment.
Amen.
This year is not the year.
Amen.
This year is not the year you will experience a disaster.
Amen.
This year is a year where your mourning will be turned into dancing.
Amen.
This year is not your last year.
Amen.
This year is not your final year.
Amen.
On this earth. It's the beginning of many good years.
Amen.
Because of this.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We receive life.
We receive life. Power. Into our bodies.
The body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ. Journey, amen.
Every step will be a successful step.
Every step, amen.
The bus.
Yes.
And the car.
Yes.
That will crash. You will not be in it.
Amen.
The plane that will come down. You will escape it.
Amen.
The bad news of the list of those who died.
Yes.
You will not be among that list.
Amen.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen. Amen.
Every form of terror attack.
Every form.
Against your life.
Yes.
You are safe
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
You will live today. You will live tomorrow.
Yes.
And you'll be smiling all through 2020.
Amen.
Every day will be Christmas for you in 2020.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For the blood of Jesus that is speaking.
Yes. Yes.
And that of Abel.
Yes.
As we drink this cup, let the blood of Jesus speak inside us.
Hallelujah.
Let it speak loud.
Let it speak loudly, Lord.
Against
every wickedness, yes, every demonic power and oppression, Lord. Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Thank you, Lord.